This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Last week we started to explore just the question, as we've been for a couple of weeks now, who is Jesus? Very important questions, you know, especially when I speak to unbelievers. Who is Jesus? So many people have different opinions. Praise God for the Word. You can always go back there if you want to know who is Jesus. And we've been just looking at the Word of God as it reveals Christ to us. Here in John chapter 1, we've been reading of the fact that Jesus is the Word of God, and that He was from the beginning. We read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him is life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. And last week we looked at this concept of in the beginning. What does the Word of God say to us about Jesus? Well, in the beginning we looked at the fact that Jesus is the beginning and the end. And with that, everything in between, and that is not just there at creation. He's still here. He's the one who is, who was, and is to come. He's still not just present with us, but He's also in our future. He's already in tomorrow, in next week, in next month, waiting for us. He's already prepared a way for us. And as we have faith in Him, we know that our lives are secure, because He's not just past and present, He's also future. And that He loves us, and nothing is impossible for us. So we do not need to fear. If you missed that, you're more than welcome to download it. It's all for free on the website. We read here in Revelation 21, verse 6, and He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." This morning I want to explore another concept found in John chapter 1, and it's the fact that in Him was life, that Jesus is life. In John chapter 1, if we read there again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And I want us just to explore that for a moment. Who is Jesus? Apart from being the Word, apart from being the beginning and the end, apart from being eternal and almighty, in Him is life. We actually read that all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing that was made was made. Christ was central to everything that came into existence, because He is life. Not just for the material, but also for the living. God was present in Christ in everything that He created, because He is the source of life. Everything that has breath, everything that lives, lives because of Him. He is life, and through Him everything came into existence. We read in Genesis, of course, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke. And we see, again, in the mystery of the Trinity being present, everything was made through the Word of God. And we read here in John 1, verse 4, all things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. Now, firstly, it speaks, if we read of this two portions of Scripture, it really speaks of some powerful concepts and realities. that gives us great hope and security in our faith in Him. Firstly, it speaks of God's will and intent for creation. That creation was not random. It wasn't random. It was intentional and it was personal. And so we can take a great hope in the fact that God is not just distant, a distant force that sets certain things in random acts of power, but that it was very intentional in creating everything, and that everything that was created through the Son. So it was very intentional. It was not random. And secondly, that all things were made through Him. So He was personally involved in everything that was created. And we see even the absolute climax of creation when God decided to make man. He created man out of the dust, and then He came down and He knelt down and He breathed life into him. You know, man is not random, but deliberate and also very personal. And then thirdly, if we read of this account, we see the immense power of God, that everything in the universe came to being by His will and His word. So God is immensely powerful. If we look at the universe that is so great that our minds cannot even grasp it, we constantly find that it's growing. Everything in it came to being by the will and the word of God. He is immensely powerful. But then we read the following that says that in Him was life. In Christ is life. So He not only created the material and the living, He's not only the cause of life, He is the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. Not only does Jesus have life, He is life. And if one starts to meditate upon it, He's not just the cause of life, He is life. We understand when Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. When life itself says that, it's very powerful. It's not just, I know where is the source of life, I am life. And I've come to give you that more abundantly. And even greater than that, Jesus declares that He is the source of eternal life. Not just life as we understand it, but life far greater than what we can comprehend or imagine. I am eternal life. So in 1 John 5 verse 11 we read, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. And this is who God is. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. He is the source of life. He is life itself. And He has eternal life. And this is eternal life. It's in Him. It's not apart from Him. It's not outside of Him. That's why Jesus says, nobody can come to the Father except through Me. There's no other way to get to eternal life except through the source and the life itself, which is Jesus. You can't have it outside of Him. This life is not this book. This is not eternal life. Eternal life is in Jesus. This is the Word of God that is the testimony of who Jesus is. Everything in it points to Christ. From the old to the new, it points to who Jesus is. This is uniquely powerful because it is the Word of God, and God's Word is alive and it's powerful. It's alive and powerful in that it points us to the source of life. And if you have faith in this Word, you will find the life that it speaks of. But it's not these white and black letters, or the black letters on the white pages, or if you have my notes tonight, black on green. I don't know why the printer has green paper, but this is not life. It's Jesus. Eternal life is in Him. The word simply points to him, but these words are powerful. It's a mystery, the link between Christ and his word and what it does in us. It is faith in his word, the testimony of God, the written word that leads us to Christ. But this life that we're looking for is actually in a person and not in a book. That's why 1 John says so powerfully when it speaks about the testimony of God. This is the testimony of God. These are God's words spoken about Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end to reveal to man the source and life itself. This is the testimony of God about Jesus, who is his son. It says here, I'll read it again from 1 John from verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has concerning his son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Whoever has the son has life. So life is in Jesus. And there's this mystery about this testimony, the Word of God and Jesus himself. It is not knowing the Bible that saves us. It's knowing Jesus that saves us. You will meet people that knows the Scripture off by heart, but they don't know Jesus. You'll get theologians that study this Word and can tell you in his original language all the meaning of it, but they don't know Jesus. Because this is not eternal life. Jesus is. This is the words of God, and it is alive, and it is powerful to reveal to us who Christ is. But in order to have this life, you have to meet the Jesus it speaks of. So therefore, Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with God. But it starts with believing the testimony, believing the word of God that will lead you to meet him. And the more you know this, the more you have access to who he is and have an understanding and a revelation and a realization of who God is. The scriptures helps us to know him more. Here in John 5 verse 39 it says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So our aim is not to gain knowledge of Scripture as an end in itself. Our aim is to gain knowledge of who Jesus is, that we may know him. Our pursuit is not knowledge of Scripture, but our knowledge of God. But for that you need faith in his word. And secondly, there's another very important aspect that I realize is so important in knowing who God is, finding the source and life itself. There's something that you need more than just the scriptures and faith in it. You need to be thirsty for life. You need to be thirsty for him. You need to have a desire to know God. God says, without faith, it's impossible to please me, because he who comes to me must believe that I exist and that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently, earnestly seek me. Another aspect of knowing God is a hunger, a thirst for him. A desire to know him. You know, when we are thirsty, we desire something. You know, when you're thirsty, if you're thirsty, desire a hamburger. No, you don't. When we are thirsty, what we need more than anything, and the thing that we desire, is a top that screws off. It's water. When you're thirsty, you desire water. You know what is so powerful? The more thirsty you are, the more you want pure water. Have you noticed that? When you're just kind of drinking something with your food, it's kind of, you know, Coke or Tab or, you know, wine or whatever liquid you like. But if you've been going without liquid for a whole day, what you thirst for more than anything else is water. Have you noticed that? Then you don't want Kool-Aid or Oros. What you want is just give me plain water. It's amazing. The more thirsty you are, the more pure water you want. There's nothing that satisfies more than this when you're really thirsty. But if you're not really thirsty, you don't really want water. Coffee or Oros or something cold will be nice. But it's fascinating when you're really thirsty. You don't want anything else except the pure thing. Revelations 21, verse 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts." Here in John 7, Jesus stood up on the last day of that great feast, John 7 verse 37, and on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." If you are thirsty for life, don't go look in the world for it. It's not there. If you're thirsty for life, you can only find it in the source of life, which is Jesus. But first, you need to know the truth about Jesus through the Word. This is where the Word is so powerful. Jesus had an encounter with a woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. She was thirsty for water. So she came to an earthly well, and Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, if you only knew, you would have asked, 'Give me a drink,' and he would have given you living water." Before we can get to the source of life, we need to know about it. That's the Word. So we need to know it, and then you need to believe it. But the question this morning is, what are you really thirsty for? Are you really thirsty for life? Or are you just looking for something to drink? There are so many liquids out in the world. There are so many different things you can drink. From Kool-Aid to Oros to Coke to wine, coffee. There's just so many liquids out there. What are you thirsty for? Now, all this stuff in the world does not really satisfy thirst. There's only one thing that does that. You see, our body needs water to survive. But there are many other alternatives, other liquids. It's like coffee that the world offers. It smells good. I mean, this doesn't really smell like anything. But coffee smells like something. Many of you come here because of that. I know. It smells good. We even have two different kinds of smells out there. Coffee smells good. It tastes good. Different flavors to it. You can even add sugar in it. As much as you want. I've noticed some of you add quite a lot. We should actually just put Ricoffee out for the sugar drinkers. Because really, if you add too much sugar to it, it just tastes all the same. But that's the point. There are just so much liquid out there like coffee. Different flavors, different strengths, and different amounts of sugar. But if you drink it too often, you get addicted. Like some of us, yeah? And if you drink it too much, it becomes quite expensive, eh? I mean, you start to buy more and more. And you know what's the funny thing about coffee? If you're really thirsty, if your body really needs water, it's the worst thing to drink because it dehydrates you even more. That's all the alternatives out in the world. Oh, it smells so nice. And it tastes so good. But if you drink of it too much, you become addicted. And all it at the end do is dehydrate you. There's only one thing that can satisfy you, and that's Jesus. But you have to be thirsty. Because if you're not really thirsty, you will go for all the alternatives. But if you're truly thirsty, there's only one thing that you'll be looking for. You will say no thank you to the coffee and the tea and the cool drink. I just want plain water, please. But it's determined by what you thirst for. The question is, are we really thirsty for God? Are we really thirsty for God? Because if we're really thirsty for God, there's only one thing that we would want. It's nothing else. And it's not that having a cup of coffee every now and then is a bad thing for you. Now, I drink a cup of coffee maybe once or twice a week when I meet some of you that really love your coffee. And I don't want to offend you, so I have a cup of coffee. But to be honest, I drink it black without sugar because I don't like it and I don't want to. So I make it as nasty as I possibly can. And every time I drink it, I tell myself, this is really not nice. But for you, I drink it. But it's okay. I don't get a headache if I don't have a cup of coffee. I don't start to shake. Or when I walk past a coffee shop, I cannot resist going in. I don't have that problem. Because I don't really drink coffee. But it's okay every now and then. The question is, are you really thirsty for God? Because if you're really thirsty for God, you won't go after the other things. Are we really thirsty for God, or are we more thirsty for the world and the things in the world? What do you want in life? What do you really want? Because that will determine what you thirst for. And more than that, what you really want, what you really hunger and thirst for, will determine what you fill yourself with. If you really want the world, you will fill yourself with the world. And what you fill yourself with will determine what fruit you will have in your life. In conclusion, Danielle said, I'm not allowed to say in a nutshell. She says, I use it too often. So she went on the internet to find me other phrases to say the same thing. She mentioned one I loved. Let us cut to the bone. There's only one source of life. But you must be thirsty for it. Otherwise you won't drink it. Band can come up. Let us examine our hearts to see what are we hungry and thirsty for. Let us ask the Holy Spirit just to come and reveal to us what is it in our hearts that we long for and we thirst for and we hunger for, because that what we hunger and thirst for will determine what we fill ourselves with, and that what we fill ourselves with will determine what fruit we have. And so Jesus says here in Matthew 5 or 6, Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. God makes an invitation to us in Isaiah 55. He says, come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you have no money? Come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. How beautiful that is. If we will only thirst for him. I want to ask the ushers to hand out the communion. We are having communion, are we? Oh, yes, we are. God makes an invitation. He says, if you are thirsty for life, come to me. If you are thirsty for God, come to Jesus. Listen to him. Oh, hear what he has to say. And you will find the riches of fare. You will be satisfied with life and life more abundantly. And more than that, you will have eternal life. Because that is found in Jesus. That's where you find this life he speaks of. It's in a person. It's not in a church. It's not in a pastor. It's not in a small group. It's in Jesus. We want to encourage you to find this Jesus. Don't find yourself a good church. Find yourself Jesus. And then stay in the church that you found him in. I want to encourage you, anyone can find him. You don't need a degree in theology. You only need to be thirsty. You only need to be thirsty and ask him for life. If you do, he will respond to you. No matter who you are, if you're thirsty and you ask him, he will show himself to you. And he will give you life. How do we hear him? We spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with him. There's actually no shortcut here. You gotta go to that well. You know, it's so interesting when Jesus speaks to this woman who came with a jar to an earthly well. She came to a well. You know what a well is? I discovered a well last year. I dug one myself. I had someone else to try and make one. It didn't work. So, Willem, waar is Willem? The landscaper Willem, is jy hier? So Willem told me, no man, you must dig a well yourself. You must take a spade and dig a well. And I thought to myself, he's crazy. You know how deep I need to dig before I get water? Well, it wasn't that bad. I got water on 3 meters. But I dug it with my hand. I dug this well. And you know what? This woman, she came to a well that was dug by hard work for stagnant water. And Jesus said, if you knew who's speaking to you, if you knew who I was, you would ask me and I would give you water. And that you will never thirst again. And it will well up into you a fountain of living water. A fountain. You see the contrast? You can come to a well that you need to dig and work hard for to get stagnant water. Or you can come to me and have a fountain that flows living water. And of this water, you will drink and thirst again, but the water that I shall give you, you will never thirst again. You know what that woman did? She said, give me that water. She left the pot at that earthly well. And she went back from where she came. And she shared with everybody. This water is not just for you. It will overflow in you and through you. And that whole village came to Jesus. You can read that account in John chapter 4. It's not normal water, this water Jesus speaks of. It will change you and it will change everybody around you. Because it's life. It's real life. But you must be thirsty. Otherwise you'll drink other stuff. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have given us your Son so that we may have life. Not just any kind of life. No, true life. Oh God, how sweet this life is, this water that flows from you. David says, like a deer pants for water, so I long for you. Your word is like honey. Oh, it gives strength to my bones. Gives me life. Oh Lord, I pray that each and every one of us, Lord, will become so hungry, so thirsty, that we will not drink coffee again, or tea, or Kool-Aid, or Oros, or anything the world may give. Oh God, yes, from time to time we might be distracted, but may we always be so thirsty that nothing will satisfy us except you. That we'll always come to this fountain and drink of it, so that we are satisfied by you and not the world. Oh God, this morning as we are praying, there are some people here that I believe need to respond to this invitation. If you are thirsty for life, come to me. God is making an invitation while all the eyes are closed. If you are here this morning and you want to respond to this invitation of God, the Almighty Creator, Sustainer of life, if you are thirsty for life, if you are hungry and thirsty for life, God is saying, come to me. And if that is you, all you need to do is have faith and respond and say, give me, Lord, of this life. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. If you're here this morning and you are thirsty, thank you for those hands. You can drop them again. Is there anyone else? If you are thirsty, I want to ask you just to consider this. Jesus is saying, come, and I will give you water, and you will never thirst again. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. This was a woman, not a righteous woman. No, she was a good sinner. And God offered her life. She became a saint. In a moment of time, if that is you, I want you to consider God is making an invitation. If you are thirsty for life, come to me. And I ask you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand and you wanna commit your life to Him, maybe it's a recommitment. Maybe it's the first time you're doing this. But I want you to do something bold. I want us all to partake of communion, but I want you to do something differently. I want you to come forward. I want you to partake of communion with Him. Not with the church, but with Jesus. So I want to ask you to do something bold. If you have partake of this invitation, if you want to respond to Jesus, if you've raised your hand, or maybe you haven't raised your hand, and you want to respond to this invitation, I want to ask you to quickly come forward. And I want to pray with you, because this is not between you and the church, you and the pastor. It's between you and Jesus. You're coming to the source of life. This is what church is about. It's about creating an opportunity where you can have an encounter yourself with God. It's not about people. This is what it's about. So I want to ask you, if you raised your hand and you are thirsty, you are hungry for life, whether it's a recommitment or a first-time commitment, I want to ask you to come forward. I want to ask you to come to Jesus, the source. And as you ask Him, say, Lord, I want of this water. He will respond to you. He will respond to you and He will give you of this life that will never, ever run dry. Oh, and I want to encourage you for the rest of us. Never satisfy yourself with other stuff. Go to Jesus when you're hungry and thirsty. When you're thirsty, there's only one place you should go. It's Jesus. Keep on filling yourself with Him, and you will not run dry. You will not run dry. Because He is the source. He's also life itself. So let us all just pray. Let us all consider our hearts and let us ask God to help us, to free us from our caffeine addictions, our worldly stuff that we find our pleasure in. But let us find our addiction in Jesus. Let's be addicted to Him. Let's smell not like coffee, but like Jesus. Where we go in this world that we'll be in our hearts, in our minds, and that we'll live His word so that we can share it with those next to us. Can we sing that song, Come to the Altar? Let's all just bring our own hearts to God. And let's come to that fountain again. Each and every one of us, in our own hearts, in our own words. Let's just respond to God's invitation. If you're thirsty. Oh, for some of you here, maybe you're not thirsty. That's okay. Why don't you ask God to make you thirsty? He can do that for you. Let's just pray. Just in your own time. Let's just pray. And as you're seated, we're going to sing a song, and I'm just going to minister to these folk, and if some of the facilitators can help me. I want us to partake of communion before we sing this song. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. While we were still dead in our trespasses and our sins, powerless, You send us life. You send Jesus. I want to thank you for coming to us, Jesus, and taking my sin, my guilt, but facing death for me so that I might live. May I not forget as I eat this. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Thank you for your blood that was shed for me. It washes me clean. It makes me new. It gives me life. Because I no longer live, but you live in me. Lord, I want to thank you for this great salvation. Lord, I want to thank you that my sins are removed. As far as the east is from the west, you've made me new and clean, a new creation. In Christ Jesus, I stand. Not as a slave anymore, but as a son, a child of God. I want to thank you for this privilege. It's all because of you. Lord, as we take this blood and we put faith in it, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for whoever believes in this sacrifice that you have made for us, whoever believes in this testimony that you have about this Jesus, that it is your son, that he was killed, died for us so that we may have life, and through faith in him we will be saved. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here this morning, Lord, that chooses to put their faith in you. Lord, as we drink this cup, we drink our salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us just worship together as we pray and we sing. I'm going to ask the facilitators to help me as we can just pray for these precious people.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.